say this, both numbers here then?
Yeah, or just the two schedules they're going to read.
Okay, sounds good.
Anyhow, so pay attention, Justice.
And you're going to need to come up here and be on a microphone, too, both of you, right?
Yeah, this is just
hold on. I got it. Yeah. You guys are good.
Okay.
Okay. As required by statute, the Board of County Commissioners is sitting today as the County Board of Equalization. We are going to hear first the appeal for schedule number R2581441. That would be the Fetcher family property. Following that, let me find the number for the second one. We will hear the appeal for schedule number R8164181. That would be the Petty property. The first order of business is the swearing in of the petitioners. So if I could have the two petitioners. And so the assessor's office, they're swearing in from last time, still counts. Is that, am I to understand that correctly? Okay. And then I'll remind the representatives from the assessor's office that they are still under oath. So the two petitioners, do you swear that the testimony you are about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all we need. Mr. Fetcher, you can remain up here. We'll have you first.
Say what?
We're done.
So you'll actually
for now.
Be in seat there.
Okay.
My appraiser will sit here in a second.
So first I'll make a few introductory comments regarding the proceeding. The issue of today's proceeding is property tax valuation and or classification for assessment purposes, not property taxes. No discussion of taxes will be allowed. The assessor's office must produce information to support the basis and amount of the assessor's valuation of the property or classification if that is what is being contested. Where the comparable sales method is used, state statute provides that the assessor will determine value based on sales during the 18-month period ending June 30th, 2018. Sales may also be considered in 6-month increments immediately preceding the 18-month period up to 5 years if there are insufficient sales to obtain inaccurate comparable valuation data. Smaller counties commonly use a 24-month period in order to obtain sufficient comparable sales data that better demonstrates the change in value from the prior level of value. June 30th, 2016. The 24-month period also eliminates seasonality from the sales data. Rout County uses a 24-month data collection period. The petitioner and the assessor should not discuss sales post June 30th, 2018, except in cases when it can be demonstrated that a contract for sale was completed prior to June 30th, 2018 and closed after June 30th, 2018, according to the original contract. Under Colorado law, the present value of your property cannot be considered. The petitioner shall present his or her evidence first and shall have the opportunity to cross-examine the representatives from the assessor's office after they have presented their evidence. The decision of this board may be appealed, and we will refer to that after the decision or motion has been made. If either party has any exhibits they wish the board to consider, please give them to Deanna for marking. So we have we'll let Jay present his evidence first.
Last couple days ago, I dropped off to each of you some information in a letter. And just with this map that you have.
It's the same as what's in our packet, I believe. Yep.
It's actually a map drawn by one of our local residents to tell who's who and what everybody is. So I looked at it, went to the county assessor website, and looked at the values that the assessor had placed on the properties. And what I saw was that every property that abuts the right-of-way ski trail is valued at $2 million. And that's what our property was valued. But we do not abut the ski area. We do not have access to the ski area. Everything above Trail Set Road, including our neighbor, which is 50 feet away from us is valued at $925,000 on the land.
Jay, would you mind putting that map right out in front of us?
You may have it.
And that, well,
can
and,
you just point to where you're
yeah,
at?
Yeah, yeah.
We're here. So all these properties, we're here. All these properties abut right-of-way ski area are at the $2 million range. Above Trails Edge Road are all $925,000 or some of them or less. Susan, when I initially protested, she said, well, this house was sold for $2.5 million and the house was torn down. So that means the land's worth $2 million. I can understand that scenario. This house was just torn down. It's $925,000. So I know we have 10 acres, which is part of the consideration that the assessors talked about. But we're limited to only one house. We can't do anything else with this 10 acres. There's a city trail that goes through our property that the city has an easement on. So that limits the value of this property. To me, this 10 acres, which is Gary can show there, is a real asset to the city for the bears and the moose that hang out there quietly. And truthfully, it is so steep going down Burgess Creek. We don't want to develop it. We don't want any more houses there. So I'm arguing that our $2 million assessment, or land assessment, is unfairly too high when we don't have the same consideration that these people do.
Thank you. Was there? Is that your?
Yeah, I mean, there's a piece of open land up in the Burgess Pines that's valued at $50, and I don't know why that is, what the restriction
$50?
Is. $50.
It must be a common area, so it's just a nominal value, yeah, like a place marker.
Yeah. Okay. So these houses here are all access to the ski area.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have direct access.
Properties.
Yes, the trail's right below there.
Yeah, so this is the ski run coming off the Thunderhead Lift. It's right here. So there's the Thunderhead Lift right there. And this is a kind of a skiway, highway back down to the base.
Yep.
And to all this ski in, ski out slope property. Fetcher Residence is right here.
And all those houses in Burgess Pines, I mean, everybody could walk to the trail, but we don't abut the ski area or the ski trail.
So it's this square, almost 10 acres,
9.24
and a quarter acres. So it is bisected by Burgess Creek Road. You have Burgess Creek running through the middle of it. I don't know where the city trail is.
Yeah, it comes. Do you want me to show you on that?
Sure.
It comes all the way from here through these woods, comes out right at the right here. Yeah.
So is a trail easement?
It's
trail?
An easement that my dad gave to the city.
But it's not developed.
It's not developed.
No. I mean, it's cut open. It's a walking trail. It's not a bike trail.
But the public doesn't have access to it at this time?
They do, except they can't get, it's hard to get to in get from to the wet east end, from the top end. A lot of people walk it and use it.
But
it's not a bike trail, it's a walking trail.
But you're asserting that the existence of that easement devalues the property.
Right.
Yeah, the city will mark their trails in this yellow. Like this is Valentine Dog Park area. So typically on this website, we'll see the trails.
You and know, are marked. Those might be more developed trails.
They yes, certainly are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you aware of any trail easement?
I'm not, but I'm not saying that there isn't.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yes.
Okay. Susan?
Do we have any questions for him, or do you want us to wait?
I think maybe let's hear evidence first, okay, and then ask questions. Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
Okay.
Shay and I have talked a lot about this, and, you know, we aren't really disagreeing on a whole lot of things. I think what we're doing in the assessor's office is just placing more value on that large acreage that it is. We've typically valued this property with the ski-in and ski-out lots just because of its size. We agree that for the zoning and restrictions, a single-family home or a duplex would be the most that could be built. Maybe there's potential across the street on Burgess Creek, but that's also fairly a steep area. And I think when you were pointing out the house that had sold that was torn down, I think you were pointing at this one, but it's this one here.
Right. I'm sorry.
And so this one just has this little point right here where obviously they can get to the ski area, but it's not one of these with the long linear foot against the ski trails. So I'm looking at that sale where the house was demoed. There's another sale, sale two, which is up on Temple Knowles. It's a pretty tight, high dense area in there. There's not much parking.
Is that the one that Gary's got the pointer on right now?
No, that's the one with just the point touching the.
So that's the one you're.
That was the teardown at $2.5 million. Mm-hmm.
That's the teardown.
Yes.
One.
But that's not what you're referring to right now. You're referring to the Temple Knowles.
Right.
Which is this property.
The 3035, yeah.
3035. So,
but this one was just torn down.
I think
bulldozers there right now.
Oh, okay. So I'll be looking at that for the next
year. But that was after that June 30th. Yeah. Okay.
But this one up here had a house on it.
No, that was vacant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So sorry, you were referring to. So we're talking about the 3035
property,
sale two. Mm-hmm. And that you used as a comparable.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It just brackets the low end. That one has a time-adjusted sales price of $929,643. But as I was saying, it doesn't have as much privacy. It backs to Burgess Creek Road there. It's just a very hard area to get in and out of. It's tough to go viewing there. But, of course, they can walk to the ski area from there. It's just kind of bracketing the lower end. There was a third sale, which is not in the ski area, but is in Hinsdale Subdivision, which is an angler's property, which is a very desirable area of Steamboat. It is 3.5 acres. It has a time-adjusted sales price of $1.872. And so just kind of showing the demand for some of these elite properties in the area.
Can I ask just a clarifying question? So the $2 million that we're talking about, that's the value of the undeveloped property, or that's
the land?
Just the land. Mm-hmm. And so these two comparables price that you're talking about are vacant, those prices?
So we have a question. I have a question.
Sorry, hold on. So, can she answer my question?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the first sale that
the
we're
first
talking
sale
about?
And the second sale? You're talking about just the land in all
just
those cases.
Just the land, but okay. when that first sale sold, it did have a house on it. It was okay. Dated in.
But all of these we're talking about just the value of the land.
Okay. Yeah, and I should clarify, there is a home on the property, on the subject property.
That was what I wanted.
Okay.
Yes, and it is a older home, and it does not contribute a lot to the value. A potential buyer would likely look at that as a redevelopment property.
Same with our.
Yeah, that's the one I was reading.
So that's.
No, that was.
That was your question.
So,
that
$769, what was the land property? Land value?
Of the second sale?
Yeah.
The time adjusted sales price was $929,643.
That's the one off of Anglers.
No, that is the one off of Temple Knowles.
Okay, what was the one off of Anglers?
Anglers is $1,872,000 is the time-adjusted sales price.
That's number 769?
Sale 3.
It's comp 3 in the book, located on Fish Creek.
But it had a house on it.
Address 769.
That one did not. That was vacant.
And that was just a vacant one.
And what was the value on that one? 1.6.
So that is 769.
No, the current value is its sales price.
It's this one
in
here,
the city's
Tim.
Website. You see that says current value. It's the last sales price.
Okay.
The city will correct that for me.
So do you see where it is in our packet? Because the time-adjusted sale price was 1.872.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the number you're looking for?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a 3.5-acre parcel.
Sorry, Susan. Did you have anything else?
I do not.
And so the sales, sorry, sorting through these three sales that you compared, and the prices on those were, none of those were $2 million. So can you, alongside that, those, how did you compare those properties to this property? Do you understand my question? I'm sorry, that wasn't very clear.
Right. So I guess I was not clear on sale one. It sold in February of 2017, and it sold for 1.95, and I guess I did not specify what its time-adjusted sales price was, but it would be over the $2 million mark.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. And then the other two are valued at less than $2 million. So how did you compare them to this property? I mean, why would they be valued less?
Based on their size, the Temple Knowles location, much lower price point just because of those negative attributes that it has.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Doug, did you have a question?
Yeah, so I guess I'm a little confused here. Sale one was, again, I guess, so what was sale one? And how much did you have it at? I've got the map here. I'm looking at it. So
it was purchased February 2017 for $1.95 million. There was a demo afterward. We also would time adjust it. It kind of all equaled out to the $2 million mark.
Okay. Which substantiated the other ones, so these other two. That it's not part of those, but it still substantiated the $2 million.
Right.
Okay. Sale 2, then, was what?
Sale 2 was a vacant lot. It sold in September of 2016 for $768,300. Its time-adjusted sales price is $929,643. Home was built on it after the time of sale. It was listed as of our appraisal date for $5.45 million. So that's showing the high-dollar properties that can be built up there.
So I guess the question is, go ahead.
Well, just comps 1 and 2 are both under a half acre. So this is a tough appraisal problem.
It's a tough property.
We're trying to, recognize that it's also a 10-acre parcel in a neighborhood of half acre or so parcels. Yes, it's not on the ski run, which is the higher tier of the two, and there's about $1 million difference between those two. So it's, what is that excess acreage worth, being on a half acre versus being on 10 acres?
So can you clarify, Jay referred to the ability to sort of subdivide that property or build additional homes on it as kind of his argument about the price. How would you typically value this type of land? Is it based on the ability to build additional homes, or
we are just valuing it as a one single family or duplex property? We're not even trying to say that.
So I'd like to follow up on that question. You made the statement that you agreed with Jay that really all that could be built there was a single-family residence or a duplex. How did you arrive at that conclusion?
We have notes in the account from prior appeals.
But there's not really zoning restrictions.
Just under the current zoning.
It's an RE1.
RE1 zoning, which is a low-density duplex or single-family.
So regardless of the fact that he has 10 acres, he could theoretically go back to the city and make some kind of a development application.
Yes. Theoretically, with the motivation of the city to do some infill, there's probably, in my opinion, likelihood there that they would be receptive to, you know, piecing this off and having some access off of Burgess Creek.
But you did not include that determination in your evaluation.
Yeah, no, we're not supposed to. That's a speculative.
Okay,
If it was reasonable to assume that's going to happen in the future use, the near future use, yes, we can look at it and value it to that. But we're not saying that here. We're just saying this is a very large 10-acre parcel close to the ski area, and the properties around it is really our best comps that we have to compare off. And, you know, I think if we try to match it up size-wise, we're going to have to go, well outside city limits to get that, and then you're just not really apples to apples there.
I'm sorry, three comps, was that because those were the only three that you thought were legitimate, or is three enough? Sometimes we've seen you guys come in with five or six,
right?
Seven comps. Mm-hmm. Why only three in this particular case?
Well, these were the two most proximal. The sales one and two were the two most proximal. The third sale was the closest in acreage that I had in the city.
Okay.
You know, we could look at sanctuary lots range from probably a low of 350 to a high of 650, 700 as a vacant sale. And the sanctuary.
350,000?
Yeah, on a vacant, on a low end sanctuary lot.
To 650. To
about 650, 700 as a reference of, what people.
So is the access to this house from down at the bottom?
No, it's right. Let me zoom in on. So he has an easement. There's the end of the cul-de-sac easement through this property right there.
Right.
And then around there.
Around, and then the house is just off the screen right there.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
And I believe the easement says limits it to one house.
Yes.
Or one dwelling. There is a caretaker unit in that house right now. We're not looking at redevelopment.
Where redevelopment would be a 200,000 square foot, a huge house.
Yeah.
5,000 square foot house would be redeveloped. Still one house, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah. Probably larger than that.
Well.
Commissioners, other questions?
I don't have any other questions. I guess my question is, to us and to you guys, the jump from the 925, the 929, down to $2 million always concerns us. And it, I personally don't see much value out of that 10 acres either. So, I think we've already established there's, you've already acknowledged as well, it's a problem parcel to assess as well. And, it just seems like the span between 925 or whatever, 929 and $2 million just seems to be. And then if you think about the encumbrances that come with it, with the easement that goes through it, whatever, and then the limited access. And you can bet your whatever you want to bet that city is going to look really hard at having another access off of Burgess Creek Road. Just would seem so.
I kind of agree with a lot of what you just said. In fairness to the assessor's office, it's hard to find truly comparable properties. I get the logic that you used to arrive at that higher valuation, but a doubling. It's clearly worth more in my view than the $926,000 property. It should be more than that. If you went to market this property and sell it, I think you'd more quickly find people that are interested in owning a 10-acre parcel with their custom home than a half-acre parcel. I think Mr. Fetcher, though, makes a good point that it's not truly ski-in, ski-out, quote-unquote. And that speaks to the valuation being less than $2 million. I'm not quite sure what to do with it. It feels like we're going to have to make a some kind of a judgment.
Yeah, but even then, though, we have the ability to benchmark it or something, as we either start with the $2 million and discount down off of that with some equitable number.
Some reason.
Or reasoning, start with the 929 or 926 or whatever,
and then add to it,
you know, to come up with something that we might think was a little less, not so much $2 million or something. So, I mean, sometimes
players. So. Before I make my comments, I'm just noting that I'm supposed to give the petitioner the opportunity to ask questions of the assessor's office, so I want to go ahead and do that before I make any other
Susan
comments.
Susan and I have had some good conversations, and I guess the only thing is I don't feel, just because in 1965 my dad got 10 acres there, that we should be penalized because we have more acres than our neighbors do that have just one house on there. That, and like I said, if there's a way I'd do a conservation easement, I would, so there would never be any more houses there, because we don't want them there. And there's not many other buildable sites on that property, because it's very steep going down the dirt. So that would be the concern I have. Is sort of, we've got this great 10 acres that's valuable to the city, and yet we're being penalized. And with that value compared to the other values along this area.
Thank you. So,
if I can respond to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're not trying to penalize him for having such big acreage in the city. It's ad valorem assessment for property tax purposes. That is according to actual value. So we're just trying to come close in estimating what the true actual value of this property is for property tax assessment. And I'm hearing your guys' arguments. I don't, they're valid arguments. You know, it's, as we were saying earlier, this is a hard one to piece together. And I suppose you don't know until you test the waters with it and you put it out there. But,
So I would be inclined to agree that 925 is too low, given the size of the lot, but that without the ski access, I think perhaps the $2 million price point is too high. So I would be inclined to find some kind of a middle ground there. I don't have a specific proposal about where that would be.
Let's keep it simple. I would move, because I know we've got to move along here,
yep.
So I would move that we deny the petitioner's appeal or adjustment on R2581441 and deny his appeal for the $925,000 on the land part and value that at $1.5 million for the land part, noting both the benefit of having the 10 acres and the disbenefit of having 10 acres. So.
Second.
Such an eloquent motion. So the total value would be the $1.5 million plus the $357,000.
No,
that was reduced.
That was reduced to
$192,000.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. It would be 1.5 plus the 192,480.
Any other discussion of that? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The decision of this board may be appealed to the Route County District Court, the State Board of Assessment Appeals, or through an arbitration process. You'll be sent a letter informing you of the board's decision and your rights concerning the appeal process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you
very much.
Great day. Thank
yep.
you.
Did you get the coffee? Did you?
Just
do that.
All right. So we will go ahead and hear the appeal for schedule number R8164181, John Petty. Petitioner has been sworn in. Representative from the assessor's office is still under oath. I don't think I need
to make the introductory comments again? Does anyone?
No.
Okay. You guys don't? All right. So we'll go ahead and proceed.
Presuming that Mr. Petty acknowledges having heard the introductory.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Great. So Mr. Petty, we'll have you go first, please.
Okay. So I just read through with Kevin the, I guess, his report.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously saw my information. Do you have any questions about the property before I begin in terms of with my information sufficient?
Could you just summarize the information
sure.
that you provided to us for the record, please?
Sure. I've had this property since 1990-99 or so. Paid taxes on it every year since then. The anticipation was that, or the hope was that somebody would, you know, buy, lot one, Fox Street was never for sale. Bob Milne owned it, and he was going to put his offices there. When the world collapsed, Bob ended up selling his company and decided he wasn't going to develop it. He put the property on the market maybe 3 years ago, and it didn't sell, and finally sold to Peter Kreisig last year. And Peter is now doing a housing development on the site. So my site, which I created.
So which site is that?
Yeah, will you just indicate these on the map?
So this is the sale he is referring to.
Okay. 1421 and
14. Yeah,
I
know, I know. I can see it now. I know, it's frustrating.
But just, yeah, so this
just
is
switch
my
numbers.
Site.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the site that's now being developed for Peter Kreisig. And
okay.
What I looked at, the only way... I'm a partner in this gas station, but I don't control this. You know, I'm a 50-50 partner, so I can't say, hey, let's do this, let's do that. But as you can see here, these are Yampa Valley Electric cubicles. My property is right here. We did grant an access easement to the bank so they could access their parking lot many years ago. But in order to get this through here, these are Yampa Valley Electric cubicles that would have to be moved. When you move their cubicles, these are big power that goes all the way up and serves this area. So moving that is extremely expensive. So, and the only way that I could get access to this site from here is if I start climbing from here and just start climbing up. We'll go over the topography in a second. But I can't get, you couldn't, planning, no way, no how, no amount of money would ever allow you to access this site from here. Period. And this is what I do for a living, and Kevin and I just talked about it. I mean, I know costs. I've looked through costs. There's physically no way to get through grade and start climbing and get up here without continuing to call chasing grade. So, I mean, every time you dig into this, you create something else that you have to deal with and retaining in front of you. And, I mean, like Bob Keenan from the city said, money can cure everything. But there would never be enough value in this property to access it from here. The only thing that ever made sense was to maybe start climbing here and run across this 100-some-odd feet and start to gain property and start going up this way. Okay? So
that situation is even worse here then?
Yeah. This is none of this is even remotely possible. That's a wall.
Okay. So your assertion is that the value of the property is degraded due to access issues.
It's not even the only, you know, I've paid forever because I hope that at some point there would be an opportunity to get through lot one. So when Peter bought lot one, and Peter's a friend, and there's some things in Kevin's report that just through misinformation or misinterpretation are just factually wrong, I reached out to them the day after they closed and said, hey, can we work something out? And they said, yeah, let's look at it. And in the end, they came back to me and said, well, here's what we can do. If you want to buy an access easement, we'll sell you an access easement for about $600,000 plus the cost of the development getting through there. Because that's what they felt the one building they were going to lose was going to cost them. So Kevin and I just went through a quick analysis. If you look at the development cost of getting through his property, plus the 600, plus the development costs of bringing sewer and water and road, gas, cable, electric, everything up on the property, you exceed the value of any development. So the other thing that Peter said was, hey, I'll buy the property for $250,000. And I said, great, which was the thing that's factually wrong in here. I would sell it in a heartbeat. They came back after meeting with Eric Smith and Eric Perpetrog and declined to purchase the property at any price. Because the cost, the same thing, the cost of development exceeds the value of what you'd ever gain from it. And you're welcome to hold this thing, stop this thing, verify any of this. It's just and I guess the proof is in the pudding. I've owned this property since, you know, 1999. I included in my packet the 20-some-odd thousand dollars I paid for this property. I'll sell this property to the county for what I paid in taxes, 20-some-odd thousand dollars. I'm not trying to make money on this thing. If I'm going to hold this property and hope for the next 30 years that maybe something will change and maybe it'll be developable, that's fine. I'll do that. It was the only reason I even agreed to $70,000 2 years ago was because I thought there's a chance that I'd be able to get access. This property is non-developable. It's non-accessible. You know, it just is. And you know, so you know, when Kevin and I were talking about it, you know, he just said explain these things, because these are things that either he was not aware of or misinterpreted, or he said, hey, this is if you don't agree with us, come to the commissioners. But you know, the property is it's a very difficult site. Those are 2 foot contours on all that stuff right there. I think they're two foot contours.
Yeah.
So what does that represent in terms of grade?
20%?
Yeah, it was 20%.
20%, okay.
On average, probably.
On the average, calculated?
Yeah, from corner to corner.
Corner to corner or something?
Yeah, from southwest to northeast.
I feel like I understand
yeah,
your
I mean,
concerns.
Again, I'm, yeah. You know, again, if you guys think it's worth $300,000, I'd love to sell it for that. If you want to pay me the $20,000 I paid for the property over the last 20 years.
That's not in the cards. That's not in the cards.
That's not the
So, I mean, I don't think it's – I think it may be worth what I paid in taxes. It is not worth $70,000 that I paid 2 years ago, and it's certainly not worth $300,000-something.
Can I interrupt and ask a question?
Sure.
In our packet, there's reference to a potential – access further up from Carl.
So he's as landlocked as I am. He doesn't have legal access either.
Which
he owns. Carl owns the house above it. Does he own the lot, Gary, or the house?
I think he owns the lot.
He owns the large parcel as well as the
yeah. This. So he's got legal access because he owns the adjacent lot. But again, if you look at access and you look at city planning. All of that is, you know, the maximum they'll let you go on, you know, on a street is 7%. The maximum to go on a driveway is 10%. So you're twice the minimum for any grade to do anything on any of these parcels.
It's possible.
Well, but it's not though, because look at what you have to work with. I mean, you'd have to, you know, a road needs to be, you know, a minimum road when minimum road right away in Steamboat is 60 feet.
So which parcel is the one that this guy? I mean, he owns the other big one, yeah. And then what is the legal access to the? That's the access to the cul-de-sac.
He has legal access from the subdivision. So this is a residential lot. And
so potentially those could be made one. But even then, you're going to have to figure out. There are going to be drop-in houses up on top or something like
that. Well, no, you cannot legally access. You can't do a legal access to a development through that lot. I was the developer of that. You know, you just can't. But he was John Hanley was really the developer
because
of
the grade.
No, just
because of the legal access.
Okay. That's a residential neighborhood.
Yep.
Those people bought into that neighborhood thinking that was going to be a house, not being the entrance to a development.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
it's just not. You know, it wouldn't be legal.
Okay.
And again, I'm, you know.
Thanks. I just wanted to make sure that we had addressed potential accesses.
I'm not trying to be too excited. It's just so dramatically wrong what's going on here. And I understand it from Gary's and Kevin's deal, but you can't, you know, if you don't have legal access, you don't have anything. Period. I mean, you just, you know, I have nothing. Can't, you know, it's people use it for a hiking trail to get down from above, but that's it. And you know, I'm not fighting to get my taxes reduced so that I, you know, can make a little money on this. This is just wrong. And the only reason I would even pay this bill is if this bill gets dramatically reduced, and I think maybe 20 years or 30 years, or my children.
So we're not discussing taxes today. We're discussing the value of the property.
My point just being, I didn't pay this because this was, you know, this is based on these numbers, which are just, they're just.
All right. I think we understand your assertion. Yep. Let's hear from Kevin. Thank you very much.
And our position with this is that we understand that, that there are issues with the parcel, that it isn't straightforward. But at the same time, looking at, let me direct you over to the sales that were used on page 4. And the first one is the contiguous property to the south that sold for almost $185,000. And then we move on down the column there. $1,090,000, $1,041,000, $546,000 an acre. This is now valued at $94,000 an acre. It is substantially lower because we know that there are unknowns. John's position is
there were unknowns.
They were unknowns way back. But our position is there is still, you know, some gray issues here. There is a possibility. So we feel with our value, we're taking that into consideration. As far as the facts that he was talking about being incorrect, my understanding was that $250,000 offer was declined by John. That's what I believed when I spoke to Kim Kressig. And he told me, no, that wasn't the case. It was after engineering. So that is new information. And
the offer was accepted, and then the Kressigs withdrew the offer after Eric Smith and Eric Griffin-Trog went through the analysis.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that would definitely be, you know, a correction in the report, if that is the case.
Would it be your opinion that that would change the value of the property?
Well, our position with that is if he declined that offer, $250,000, that would say it's worth at least that.
Okay.
At $94,000, you know, we're up.
So you would remove that piece of data from your analysis, essentially.
If that is the case, okay. I mean, I would like to talk to her again.
Absolutely.
And just verify that. Because that to me was a clincher. It was a big deal to me. And if that is correct, what he's saying, then, I mean, that is one thing that would obviously need to be taken into consideration here. As far as the access from the west, from the Sinclair Station property, we knew that he was either an owner or a partner in ownership. And then again, it became gray to us as to there could be some possibilities there. What they are, you know, we don't know. But again, keep in mind, this is heavily discounted. If we were up in the higher prices per acre, his argument is very strong.
I don't know. Did you want to ask?
No, I was just listening. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I guess the question. Your comparables that you're looking at, I mean, I'm sure they have access, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So how does access figure into your considerations here, besides just, well, this is valued less than these other ones?
Well, these are the sales that are in the pool mm-hmm. during the period. Mm-hmm. This is what we have to look at. And as often is the case with commercial properties, it's not apples to oranges. So, yeah, my response to that is, I mean, you can see it's at $94,000, it is half the value of the contiguous parcel at $185,000 an acre. As far as getting an accurate...
So, I'm sorry, we're not taking... Hold on just a second. Sure. Let's let him finish. I'll let you know when it's your turn to ask questions. Thank you.
Yeah, comp one is, you know, as good of a comp as we're going to get.
Show us where that's at.
That's just this property right to its south.
Okay.
It's sold in the time period for $625. It's got legal access. It had obviously a lot of development issues to get it to a shovel-ready state. They've been working on that for several months now. They have the creek running through it. They had steep hillside back here that they're in the process of creating a retaining wall and digging out. They've had to work on the flood thing and improve their access here. Yes, that one sold for about $185,000 an acre with all its issues. We currently have the 70 parcel valued about half that price. They're almost identical in acreage between the two. You know, the plat says, what's the phrase on the plat? undevelopable until legal access is obtained. Is what it is. So it is a buildable parcel once legal access is acquired. Yes, we knew he was a partner in the gas station. We flirted with, that's not a real fancy garage building, if that comes down, if there's, development done with that, you don't have to go straight up the hill. You don't have to develop it into four or five lots, one or two houses, and have value. What that cost is to make that happen is the big unknown. Even doing something with the bank parking lot and clipping part of it or something and getting up at an angle, I don't know. John's a developer. He knows these things better than me.
One thing I'd like to add too is, thus far we've been talking about how it would become a development parcel. I think we're assuming it would be multiple lots. If it was developed as one parcel for one single family residence, the access issues are still there, the unknowns. But I in my mind, it would make it easier for accessibility, especially through the top if there was a way to come down.
Sure.
With grade. So then again, are we talking about a nominal value of nothing, or does it have some value at a very discounted rate at what we have it at?
So the assessor's office believes that it would be feasible to get access to this property, and not easy necessarily, but that there are some possibilities that still exist, and that's part of the basis of your evaluation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say one thing about it?
Well, let's let them finish, and then it'll be your turn again. Thank you very much.
And that's all.
I want to speak to the Casey's Pond comp number 4, which sold for almost $550,000 an acre. It's 6 acres, so it's about double the size. That is a shovel-ready, flat development parcel, if there ever is one. That you would find down in a cookie-cutter subdivision in the suburbs of Denver. That's this parcel right here. Utilities right there in the lot line, if not already distributed, I'm not sure. That sold for $550,000 an acre on just about 6 acres. So that's the easy development parcel, slam dunk parcel. We got something that's right next door to the subject that has its physical issues, but has legal access. And then we got the subject, which lacks the access and the physical issues to that is more so just trying to get over that grade and getting the access.
So the one adjacent to this property you said has legal access?
No. It had legal access right off of Hilltop Connector Road.
He's talking about
the one that sold.
Subject.
Yes, but that's the other one. What did you guys value the other one that's up there next to this lot?
Do you know the one Doug's talking about?
The other one that's basically
on the north.
It's accessible because they own the two.
The cul-de-sac off the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I think we're near its sales price. Sorry, I lost where I'm at.
You're close, right there.
Yeah. Like I said, the website's not going to tell us. It says current value, but I can look it up. I don't have my phone.
But I don't understand how the top one, after it get explained, the top one above that would have legal access even through the cul-de-sac and through the subdivision. Unless the subdivision is going to physically agree to approve that and let it happen.
So there's a disconnect here between, and again, I'm not, I understand what they're doing for, I understand what you're doing, and you understand what I'm doing.
Yeah.
There's a disconnect here between what you think you can do and what you can legally do and what you can economically do. You cannot legally access that parcel from the residential lot. It's not legally possible. The city will not allow it. The subdivision will not allow it. Code does not allow it. You cannot legally...
That's what I would say.
Okay, so you...
No.
Hang on. Let me finish here for one second. You just can't. I mean, I did the subdivision. I know what you can and can't do. And the city won't allow it. The residents won't allow it.
Under current.
Okay,
Yeah, so then you go to the gas station, and yes, you could probably... You could legally do it if you chose to go through the process. Legally, you could probably do it. Planning-wise... There's not a chance they would let a residential subdivision of one or two lots access from our gas station access. They don't even like where the access is now. They're trying to minimize accesses and minimize the amount of traffic. The city, and please feel free to call, the city will not allow that, even if you pay the cost of moving the cubicles and fighting grade and doing all that stuff. So, again, I'm not trying to take more time than I'm supposed to today. I'd like to just, these are things that should be at least looked at by the assessor, looked at by the county, but you can't do it. And I mean, kind of the proof is back in the pudding. I didn't decline prices in front of them. They told me, yeah, how about if we pay $250? I said, great. And then out of the blue, when I thought we had a deal, they called up and said, hey, engineers looked at it, architects looked at it, and we were not buying it. So
we understand.
Again, so, I'm not trying to do more or paint this thing in any worse shape than it is. It is not a developable parcel. It doesn't have legal access. I was the seller of the Casey's Pond property. I owned it. To compare this to Casey's Pond is such a flagrant, ridiculous thing to do. It's a high-density, at the base of the ski area, development site with access. You can't discount this thing enough to make it make sense to compare the two of those.
So can I get a question? Sorry, I think I shared Doug's question, which is how that adjoining lot, which also does not have access, is valued.
What its current value is? How we have it assessed?
Yes. Because it sounds like those are somewhat comparable.
With the exception that he's the adjacent property owner.
Correct.
And he
I understand.
He bought that for his backyard.
Yeah. So I have another question for you while he's looking, John. So
sure.
We've had this. This isn't the first. It isn't your first rodeo with this. On this parcel, even. So, and we adjusted it down last time. We adjusted. I thought I saw it here somewhere that we adjusted it to 70 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we adjusted it to, Kevin? Do you know what it was valued at?
I think so.
Last year, and then at that point in time, then
it was down in there.
And then that was before the other purchase acquisition. We even heard the same argument that's being taken, that we're listening to today. We heard back that 2 years ago or 4 years ago, whatever it was, but we've heard that. And the fact is, I'm very concerned that now the game situation has changed even worse on this property. So, I'm still struggling.
Okay.
And then,
I hear you. To answer Commissioner
Melton.
I want to say Milligan.
It's okay. No problem. You can call me whatever you want. I mean, not literally whatever you want.
That one is assessed at $292.5. I believe it's 2.6 acres versus almost 3.3. So it's about 0.7 of an acre smaller is that parcel. And he does own the adjacent property next to it.
But does who owns the property affect the assessed value?
Well, no. In this case, we were looking at if he wants to, put a house down on that property.
Got it.
He could probably get that approval, not turn it into a development.
Got it.
A driveway through the residential lot.
I understand.
I talked to him. He didn't respond. I've talked to him for a year or two, but it's basically he bought his backyard.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a lot of taxes to be paying on the backyard, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not talking about taxes.
Oh, no, or it's a lot of assessed valuation.
There you go. All right. Well, we should probably try to wrap this thing up. I know you had a question you had wanted to ask. Did you, or do you have something else that you'd like to?
No, I kind of go back to, you know, and I'm happy to get with them, and, and I can bring planning in, and we can, you know, get Kirk Smith. We can do whatever we want
to
do.
I don't think we need you to reiterate anything you've already said.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, in time, maybe. But, you know, kind of like Doug said, you know, the 70 kind of made sense to me when I had a shot at maybe getting access. No one was more, you know, upset's the wrong word, but no one was more bummed when they kind of came back and said, you know, we're not interested in kind of, we're just not interested because it's just too expensive. And, you know, in 2020, you know, real estate development costs, it's just so expensive. And it's just didn't make sense to those guys at all. So appreciate your time, consideration.
I think the only question I have, Kevin, you had indicated that given that you are now aware that $250,000 offer, or if it, you know, if that were verified information, mm-hmm. which let's assume it is just for a moment, that was important in the valuation for you, I guess I'm curious how we should be considering that information or whether it's a question of something needs to go back and be investigated. I don't think
that's useful to us.
Okay. Fine by me.
So I don't have any more questions. I have an idea to float.
Okay.
Great.
So I'd preface it by saying, again, I think I appreciate the assessors, the way they approach this. I think, just like the last one, these are just like really unique situations that the judgment can go in any, many different directions. I'm mostly persuaded by Mr. Petty's, the points that he's made, and I think I can justify a $250,000 valuation based upon, if we take the adjacent property that sold for $625,000 as a comparable, because it is the closest thing in size and location, and discount that by half for access, and then that would get you down to $312,500 of value. And I think I can justify a 20% discount from that for the topography of $62,500 against me to a value of $250,000, which I think is a reasonable value for this piece of property.
I just have a question about the numbers that you just stated.
Yep.
So I think what you just said makes sense to me. I'm looking at the petitioner's request, and it says $90,000. Am I misunderstanding?
I didn't request 90.
Pardon?
I didn't request 90. I offered it to you guys for $22,000.
Well, that's off the table. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong document. But, hold on just a second here. I see John Petty.
So
Yeah, and then I see appeals procedure, petitioner's estimate of value, $90,000. Am I misunderstanding something here? On the form?
At the assessor level appeal?
Yep.
Yeah. I must have said that.
Okay. But the request today is $250,000? Am I?
No.
No.
The request?
It was $22,000, I think.
And it was valued? Okay.
I'll sell it today.
Okay, so the request now is $22,000, and you are proposing a $250,000? Okay, thank you. Just clarifying. Thoughts?
I'll let you go first.
I'm in support of what Commissioner Corrigan's logic on this. I think
it's some logic.
I will not say that. I think your logic makes sense. I can support that.
But I'd be curious to hear what Doug
thinks. Yeah, I mean, I also could be persuaded. I think
no,
it's coming.
I'm not going to be any persuaded. I'm more persuaded this thing has turned a fateful downward trend here. And again, I think the 90s even high. Again, yeah, we're going to, maybe there's the opportunity at some point in time to dose the Sinclair station and get some access up there and whatever. But basically, it's damn near an unbuildable lot anyhow because of the terrain already and just losing the access on it. You know, I'm not going to vote no against the 250. I think the 90, and again, we'll kick this thing down the road for two more years and see what happens in another reassessment period, too. We could have a whole change of things, and it could be worse or better for the property. But anyhow, so in the meantime, we have 200. Yeah, I could live with that. I'm more into thinking it's...
You think it may be lower?
Yeah, I would say it's even lower.
All right. Commissioner Corrigan has his handy calculator out over here, so maybe he's coming back with a revised proposal for us.
You've made some persuasive comments, Commissioner Longer. So I would...
Hang on a second. What did you...
Go ahead.
And I don't know how your procedure is.
No, you're fine. Talk.
Okay.
Your procedure is I say when you can talk. I apologize. I'm saying you can talk, so okay. Go ahead.
And the only response to Tim's comment is, you can't, you have a flat site and you have a very steep site. You have a site with access, you have a site with no access. And you can't make statements like you can't make statements that really hold water and say, I think this is 20% less. The property is not developable. It just, I don't know how to say that more clearly. You can't compare it to the adjacent site that accesses from a public highway. It has no legal access. It has no practical
okay.
access.
I'm sorry.
Well, but I don't think you...
I know you do, but
a common line is worth $250,000. Buy it for 22 and make a bunch of money. I don't care. I know it's kind of ridiculous, but can't tell me it's worth $250,000.
So I'm persuaded to make an additional discount based upon Commissioner Monger's statements. I'm not prepared to say that this property has no value. I think that's a ridiculous assertion, and I think that there is the potential at some future date for access. So I redid the math, and I think whatever we come up here is going to be a judgment that's based upon a whole bunch of unknowns. So we're never going to be able to make the perfect judgment here. So $625,000 value, a 50% discount of $312,500 for lack of access, and then from that $312,500, an additional 50% discount for the topography, which brings us down to a value of $156,250. I think we're bending over backwards to bring the value that low. I think if you listed that property tomorrow for $156,250, I think there's a good chance you get some offer. So having said that, Madam Chair, in the matter of account number R8164181, I move that we deny the petitioner's petition for reduction of value to $90,000 and instead grant a reduction in value to $156,250 based upon the conversation we've had.
Second.
Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The decision of this board may be appealed to the Rock County District Court, the State Board of Assessments appeal, or through an arbitration process. You'll be sent a letter informing you of the board's decision and your rights concerning the appeal process.
Thank you all
Thanks
for your time.
Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. See you
Have
guys.
Have a great day.